Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for all that you have done for us and what you continue to do for us. We're thankful for who you are. And we pray, God, as we open your word, that you will use it this morning to speak to our hearts, and that you will encourage us and strengthen us and rebuke us and correct us, guide us, direct us, as only you can. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do for us through your word today. Be with me as I preach, be with those that hear. May it all be done for your glory and for your honor. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to read verses 8, 9, and 10. That is as far as I plan to get this morning. And then tonight, we will take up verses 12 through 22, which will end the chapter for us, chapter 6. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that's God's word. And all God's people said, amen. If we go back to verse number 5 of chapter number 6, the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, came to a particular agreement. And the agreement that they came to was that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the assessment of humanity by God. And we are told that God saw, and what God saw was very different than what he had made. He no longer sees that it is good, much less that it was very good. But rather, he instead sees how great man's wickedness on earth had now become. And it is amazing how rapidly, how comprehensively and universal man's depravity had become. God looked at his creation, which he made absolutely perfect. And the Lord looked at man, who was made in the image of God and was the very crown of God's creation. And all that he sees is wickedness. Let's pause there for a moment. Let's stand where God stands here in the text. Because God looks where only God can see. Say amen. God sees what we can't see. And God has investigated the depths of human souls. He has examined the thoughts of mankind. He has investigated the convictions that men held. He has investigated man's reasoning process, looked at man's imagination, looked at his desires and his aspirations, his determinations and his purposes. He had looked at his ambitions and at his motivations. He had looked at his knowledge, at his joys and sorrows, at the very foundation of all of man's activities. And the only thing that God was able to see was that there was only evil all the time. That's what the scripture says. God judged the totality of man's depravity, the corruption of every faculty, the enslavement of our wills, the darkness of our minds, the ungovernableness of our emotions. And this wickedness had spread and permeated every person on the face of the earth. And notice that the evil here was not with man or among man. It was in man. And it was so bad. It was so bad that the only option that God has is total destruction. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth. But not just man, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. God's going to destroy all of that. It's sad that we only talk about Noah when we're kids and we color those little papers that have two animals getting on the ark and we say nothing to our children about what is happening. This is the judgment of God. And the judgment of God is going to fall down on the face of the earth, and all people, all beasts, all creeping things, all fowl of the air are going to die. Which means that man's wickedness is so bad that it will have dire consequences, not just on man, but upon all creation. But, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the very middle of a promise of judgment to fall upon the earth, God also extends grace and mercy to Noah and to his family. And instead of God's eyes seeing Noah under the judgment and wrath of God, God chooses to see Noah under the favor of God. So this morning, I want to talk about the character of Noah that is described here, and two more points tonight as we work through this passage. But we're just going to get through point one today. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. And before we get to the generations of Noah, we are told that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and that he walked with God. Now, the reason that I'm slowing down here is because what I am going to say is important and vital and essential. Because we must understand the divine order that is described here. You do know that verse 8 comes before verse 9. Say amen. Every time. And you do understand that God inspired the Word of God in a certain way, in a certain order. Say amen. So that verse 8 does come before verse 9. So I'm going to bear down a little bit here this morning to make sure that we understand there are things that precede and there are things that come out of these things. And as I mentioned last week, the character of Noah, his justness, his blamelessness or his perfection, his walking with God, none of that causes him to find favor with God. It is the result of his finding favor with God. That's the truth we have to understand. That's where so many people get things backward. The character of Noah is not the reason that he finds favor with God. It's the result of him finding favor with God. The favor that Noah finds with God comes first. And out of that finding favor with God, then he is a just man, perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. What this means is that everything good that we read about Noah in Scripture, his faith, his righteousness, his courage, his obedience, his preaching, his faithfulness, his blamelessness, all of that is due to the fact that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All of that comes from that reality, because grace always must come first. It always comes before anything that we do at all. So Noah did not find grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was righteous. No. Noah found grace, and then he became righteous. Noah was a just man. That means that Noah was in a right standing with God. This word deals with Noah's relationship with God. He was just with God. Noah had trusted in what God had said, and he was justified by his faith in God and was declared just or righteous. And we know that Noah was a sinner, right? But he was a justified sinner. He was righteous with God. He was just with God in the fact that there is a promised one to come. There is one who is coming through the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head as he bruises his own heel. That's why we are justified with God, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ does. By faith, Noah trusted in God's word. What was God's word? It was a word of judgment. I am going to eliminate mankind. I am going to kill all men. So that was what Noah believed. God said he's going to judge the world. I believe God's going to judge the world. And God promised the provision of salvation. And Noah believed that as well. Do you realize you have to believe both of those? Do you not believe that God is going to destroy this world one day? And do you not believe there is only one opportunity, one chance that you can be saved from that? And that is through Christ. Noah was saved because Noah's sins would be placed on Jesus Christ, and he would bear in his place his sins and his wrath on the cross. Say amen. This is the first time in the scriptures that the word grace and the word just are mentioned. First time. And they are in reference to Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and this grace that he found with the Lord declared that Noah to be just and right with God. If we are right with God today, it is by the grace of God that we are right with God today, not because of anything that you have done or have not done. So the first mark that Noah truly had received grace in the eyes of the Lord was that he became a just man. He became a righteous man with God. And I would just remind you, there is no hope at all in our works of righteousness. Noah's only hope for forgiveness and for being just with God was through the promise of the Christ to come. The second mark that Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord was not that he was declared right with God, but secondly, he was perfect in his generations. What does that mean? The word perfect means blameless. So, to be just with God is Noah's relationship with God. To be blameless or to be perfect among your generations is Noah's relationship with man. And the idea of blameless here has to do with Noah's demonstration of what God did in his heart by grace. I would think it would be silly for us to think that Noah found God's grace that resulted in him being declared right with God, and that being declared right with God, that finding grace in God's eyes, did not somehow result in him being obedient and blameless in the presence of men. I think that would be silly for us to say. That we can be Christians, we can be believers in Christ, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we can be declared just with God inwardly, and that inward reality doesn't work its way outward. I think that's silly for us to think that. I think it's silly that we would think that someone is right with God positionally, and that being right with God positionally has no effect on his behavior and actions practically. I think that's silly for us to believe. Again, our external actions do not gain God's grace, but they certainly do demonstrate that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This inward justness, this inward being declared just with God, is also displayed in this life with men. And the result of this being just with God by grace is that Noah lived his life uprightly before men. He lived with an orientation toward obeying God's commands. Don't you think it's silly to say that you love God and then you don't obey his commands? He said it was. Noah was a man of integrity. Noah was a man of godly reputation. His outward lifestyle was an overflow from his being inwardly right with God. If we're inwardly right with God, it must overflow. And here is a strange truth in our day and age. Here is a man who professes to believe the Word of God And actually, what he believes affects how he lives. How strange is that? That's the Bible. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the grace that he found was working in his life. Noah found, Noah received God's grace as a free gift, and the effect of that grace was that he was just with God and that he was blameless among men. And what we know is this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that also includes Noah. And like everyone else, including you and me, Noah must be justified by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace precedes Noah being just, and grace precedes Noah being perfect or blameless before his generations. It's always, listen, it's always God's intention for his grace to produce a righteous and blameless life in those who believe. God's grace delivers us from the penalty of sin, and it delivers us from the power of sin. This is what Hebrews 11:7 says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's what grace did for Noah. It's what grace does for everyone, if it's true grace. Noah was just with God. Noah was blameless before men. The third thing that Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord produced was that Noah walked with God. By God's grace, we are right with God. By God's grace, we have integrity and obedience before man to God. And by God's grace, we now desire, hunger, and thirst for a personal communion with God. Noah walked with God. And Noah is the second person in the Bible after the fall who is said to have walked with God, Enoch being the first. And Enoch was translated into heaven without having to die. What does it mean that this grace that Noah found in the eyes of God also caused him to walk with God? It means that this grace caused Noah to aim in all that he did toward the pleasing of God. It meant that Noah aimed to serve God, to honor God, to trust God, to obey God, and to desire not to offend God. And let me say this. Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord caused him not to walk with his generation. He did not walk with the world. He did not walk with those contemporaries. He walked with God. Say amen. because he lived in a time when wickedness was great among his generation, and every intention of their thoughts and their hearts was only evil continually. And the grace that Noah found in the eyes of God resulted in Noah now walking with God and not walking with his generation, which meant that Noah was standing alone for God. He was standing alone for God in ungodly times. Willing to be ridiculed, willing to be rejected, willing to be ignored so that he could walk with God. Listen, if we are going to walk with God, that also means that we are going to have to stand against the world because they are not going in the same direction. If we are going to walk with God, not only will we have to stand against the world, we will have to stand against that which is false. And can I say this? People that find grace in the eyes of God walk with God and not with the world. Do not think that Moses is some super Christian. No, no, no. He found grace. And because he found grace with God, he was made just with God and right with man, and he walked with God. That's simple Christianity. Those who find grace in the eyes of God are those who want to be with God. They want to hear about God. They want to speak with God. They want to be in the presence of God. They want to please God, glorify God, and honor God. God is all that there is. Being right with God, living a godly life, desiring to walk with God are all the results of those who find grace in the eyes of God. And if you say, well, I'm right with God, but I don't live right, and I don't desire to come to church and serve God or glorify God, I would say you need to question the fact that you got grace and you're right with God. Because this is what happens when somebody finds grace with God. One more. Verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I think there's judgment of God on Noah for naming his three sons these three names. But look at the first name, Shem. It will be through Shem that Abraham will be born. And through Abraham, the nation of Israel will come to be. And it will be from the nation of Israel that God will send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born into this world. Say amen. You understand something. Noah is the chosen man of God, and this is the chosen line that the Messiah will come through. And the character of Noah was the result of him finding grace first, not the cause by which he found grace. And I'm here to tell you, that is so messed up in churches today. Because people believe, well, if I'm going to go to heaven, if I'm going to be right with God, then I've got to do this stuff. I've got to not go here. I've got to do this and not do that. No, that's the work of God. through the grace of God, not your work. Noah found grace first, verse 8. Because grace, to be grace, can't be merited, can't be earned, and it can't be deserved. Grace is given to us by God, but I'm here to tell you this morning that when we get it, it changes everything. It changes everything. And the same is true for all those who find God's grace. And all God's people said, amen.